It's like a gift that keeps on giving. Just surprises us every time.
There's something about this song. It's a download here on 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman. It's time to justify your love for the best worst movies of all time. We've been doing it every Thursday for the past 4 or 5 weeks now. We're wrapping it up tonight after a strong. We have. I just read right before the break. I read the five movies that are
that won
that have moved on to the semis. You know. That's what I'm saying. And it's pretty awesome. It's Bad Ronald, Rabbit Test, Tiptoes, The Puma Man, and Viva Knievel.
So good.
These are them. All right, so in studio tonight, Rachel Claff and Edward Thomas Herrera.
Hello.
Hello. Rachel, of course, the creator of It Came from the Neo-Futurarium, the hilarious stage reading of the worst movies of all time, which is at the Neo-Futurarium every Saturday. The last one coming up here on Saturday.
Yes, of the summer.
That's not right.
It was a truncated season this time around, but we had fun.
And the last one will be directed by Edward Thomas Herrera, who's in studio. Edward, I've always been a fan of yours.
Thanks.
I'm so excited that you are at the helm of this last project.
I'm excited, too.
Explain, is it Someone I've Touched?
Not I've, someone I touched.
Okay.
And so there's no contraction.
The
there's no contraction.
All right, Edward,
Someone I Touched. It is a 1975 made-for-TV film.
The best.
Back when they used to do Disease of the Week. Do you remember that? Well, they called it Movie of the Week.
But it was really Disease of the Week.
And the disease in this week was syphilis.
Oh, right,
or is syphilis. And unfortunately, Cloris Leachman has it.
Okay.
In the movie, in the movie, not in real life,
I have great
respect for Cloris Leachman, and I'm sure with that vegetarian diet that she's been practicing for 50 years, she's...
So the movie, is it a cautionary tale of syphilis and sexually transmitted diseases?
It's terrible for one thing. And one of the things, it is a cautionary tale, but I think they were trying to do something about the stigma. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
The stigma of VD and the fact that people kept it quiet and they were so embarrassed about it that it actually only helped to spread the disease.
But
at the same time, they're trying to do something of a salacious kind of potboiler drama. And so you can't have it both ways where you're let's just do something really racy and sexy and today. But we have to remind everyone.
Yeah, legitimize
every
disease.
15 seconds, someone in the United States contracts syphilis. And so we're going through the script in rehearsals, and we're just cracking up. It's really? Now you're going to do the PSA?
Yeah.
Right now?
In the middle of the movie.
In the middle of this?
Great.
Yeah.
Well, made-for-TV movies, Rachel, they hold a special place in the It Came from the Neo-Futurarium series.
We've done a few, and they're always, a lot of them at least. You rarely get one that is trying to be campy, winky. A lot of the new ones do, I think, have a very keen eye towards, we're being silly about this. But some of the older ones, they just take themselves so seriously. And like Edward said, they become these PSAs for whatever it is, Disease of the Week, etc.
Alcoholism, drug abuse.
Stephanie said there was a lot of witchcraft ones in the 70s too, trying honestly and earnestly to address these issues.
And they all starred Shelley Winter.
Yeah.
Every single one. I think that was in her contract.
Yeah,
it's
right?
If you got a witchcraft movie, I got to be in it.
I want to be in it.
All right, Ms. Winters.
The great thing about it is it lends itself to great stage readings.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The scripts of these are they really shine on their own, because with a made-for-TV movie, you have a lower budget, you have a TV budget. You don't have a lot of special effects, so you're getting the sort of raw, unvarnished, did they really just say, yep, they did, yep.
And also, you're as I'm going through, because I had to do the transcription of the script. Because
he was the only one who had to do that because we
this
found
transcription.
The others.
I'm listening to it line by line, and I'm realizing that's a flubbed line.
Uh-huh.
They made that mistake. They made a mistake, but they didn't go back to correct it.
Keep going.
Probably because they was okay, look, it's good enough.
We've got Leachman
for
two more days.
Print it. Next scene. you know, and I really do think that they cut the scripts at the last minute, because like there are lots of things, and if you see the show on Saturday, you'll realize there are lots of stories that like start and then they just disappear,
don't go anywhere. That's
or right. lines that say people say, and then like there's no follow up to that line. I don't know. What
well, all right. So someone I touched is Saturday touched. At 7:30.
Yeah,
at the Near Future Area.
Going out with a bang.
Ashlyn and Foster, right in Andersonville.
Literally. A bang. Thank you.
All right, 312-981-7200. All right, so we got some people on the line, and you know the rules of picking the best worst movie.
Yep.
You try to avoid the parody.
Yep.
You try to avoid the ones that are intentionally
campy. Bad. You want something that was so bad it's good. You want to watch it again. And I think the other
share it with your friends.
Yeah, share it with your friends.
Yeah. And have some kind of connection to it that you remember it fondly, but not something that you go, oh well, that was awful. I never want to see that again.
This is not a movie, but Carl Lewis, the track star in the 80s.
I never want to see him again.
He made a music transition, trying to make a transition to an R&B star.
Oh, dear.
Right.
And he did
a
music
that.
Video in which it was just a collection of clips of him racing. And
oh, no.
then
was,
also,
that wasn't the party I want to party
no,
all the time.
Oh, that was Eddie Murphy.
No, that's
that was
Eddie Murphy. Murphy.
I forgot the name of this one. Build It Up or something.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Oh,
wow. But it was a collection of him in the gym with like leotard did women.
Which and, you know, let's be honest. He looked very good in a
he did.
I'm
and
sure.
he was lifting weights at one point. He's singing.
Yeah.
And then it would just be a collection during the chorus of just clips of him winning races. So anyway, that's a music video that does not count.
I mean, if
no,
you want to open it up to music video.
And you also brought up a good point, which is that we have talked about spin-off festivals.
Yes.
Of whenever someone does a career pivot that just should not have happened.
Oh.
So things like that.
Yeah, there
singing
we go.
Career. We threatened to do poetry readings of people who should not have written poetry books. Ally Sheedy. You know, things
Summers.
Like that. Suzanne Summers. Jewel. I'm looking at you.
Oh, Jewel. Oh,
it just goes on and on. So then the career pivot thing always leads
always
to disaster,
leads to something.
Including
right.
films.
All right, so we have it down. Let's get to some of the callers so we can get going here. We've got some people on the line, which is great. Let's start with Gary. Gary, what's your recommendation? What's your suggestion for the best worst movie of all time?
Well, I haven't seen it in a little while, but Cheech and Chong's next movie, and
oh,
that's
boy.
The name of the movie. And I mean, you got Cheech and Chong. This is about the late 70s. You got Cheech and Chong.
Of course, it would
think
be.
They would be funny, but you got, what's his name? Who
Cheech?
Was the bad guy? No, I can't
Chong.
Remember his name now.
Stacy Keach.
Neither one of them. They wind up in outer space at the end of the movie.
Of course they do.
Cocaine.
Why not?
What's his name? The guy that was arrested because he was the child molester. The little.
Oh, I can't say that I remember. Oh, Stephen Collins? No.
No. Very, very popular.
All right, well, this can go on and on.
If it wasn't for my dementia, I would know his name right now because I knew it.
Yeah.
Because I knew it about 5 minutes ago while the news was on.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, Gary, I like Cheech and Chong, but Cheech and Chong kind of falls into the category of they know they're making bad films, right?
I mean, maybe they don't know, but they're so high that they think they, you know what I mean? It ends up being silly just by nature of getting high and making a movie.
I laughed really hard at Up in Smoke. That was their.
That was the first.
That was
that the first
movie.
One?
I listened to one of their albums as a child.
Yeah, just,
so many times, I knew all their routines, and this was before I even
was
smoked.
They played the XRT on XRT. They always played the class. Shut up. That was a Cheech and
Chong. Gary does bring up a good point though, which is that one of the hallmarks of a good bad movie is that someone winds up in space.
Someone.
I mean, it just kind of...
It's the flaw, right?
Yep.
Right? Rachel Claff, Edward Thomas Herrera in studio. All right, so we got John coming up. Mark, I got some people on the line as well in the text. We are justifying our love for the best worst movies of all time. And we've got prizes. The winner tonight's going to get a pair of tickets to the 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks convention.
Ooh.
At the Hilton Chicago. So there you go. So we get prizes. Stay with us. We're justifying our love for the best worst movies of all time. 312-981-7200. If yours is picked tonight, you get a pair of tickets to the 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks convention at the Hilton Chicago coming up this week. I think it's next weekend, right? 21st? Yeah. Anyway, Rachel Glaff in studio, Edward Hello. Thomas Herrera from It Came from the Neo Futurarium, the hilarious stage reading series of the worst movies of all time. Saturday, Someone I Touched.
Someone I Touched.
Starring Cloris Leachman. She won't be at the reading.
No, sadly.
Who plays Cloris?
Noelle Krim is going to be playing, or I should say recreating, the Cloris Leachman role.
And I should point out, she was the lead of our first movie, Caged, which we kicked off of, and she's wrapping it up.
She's like the Meryl Streep.
She's our go-to.
She's the Meryl Streep of the It Came from the Neo Futurarium.
One of the things I've always loved about the series is some of the great neo-futurists of the past and people who've worked around will come back and be a part of it. So, Noelle, it's great to have.
It's a delight.
It's a delight to have you guys all back on stage. All right. 312-981-7200. Okay, let's see. Oh, this is interesting. Let's go to Mark. Mark, what do you got, Mark?
Hello.
Hi.
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 Hey, my favorite bad movie, this is from the late 70s, the great era of bad
science. We had this one. Yeah. Go ahead.
You had it before?
No, we did last week, but I want to put it back in the rotation. No. Tell us what it is.
The Incredible Melting Man.
Yes. Yes.
It has drama. It has comedy. It has pathos. It has everything.
It has people melting from sun exposure.
That's right.
And also becoming possibly homicidal.
Weren't they? Yeah, they.
Well, very much so.
That became the bit. And so the bit, well, if you remember from last week, was that the guy got, it was a spaceman. He got too close to the sun. He came back. He started to melt, and he also wanted to kill people.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, actually, he was on a space mission around Saturn. And in a great dramatic reading, he says, "You have never lived until you've seen the sun through the rings of Saturn." And at that moment, they all look like they're in great pain. Next thing you know, the spaceship comes back, and he's melting.
Like he is,
You know, they find out he needs copious quantities of blood, or else he will continue.
Oh, that's why. Yeah. Yeah. Mark, thank you.
Well, I heard that.
You filled in the when you melt. For us, Mark.
Yeah.
You get to see these wonderful scenes. One in particular, an elderly couple are in a car, and they drive off into a field because they're going to do a little canoodling.
As elderly couples often do.
Yes, exactly. The next thing you know, the Incredible Melting Man is in their back seat, and he kills them.
With a hook for a hand.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. No, that's a different movie.
In the next scene, you see him holding one of their heads.
Oh, goodness.
And he throws it over into a stream. You see this in slow motion, mind you.
Wow.
And this is great.
It goes down the stream, goes over a little waterfall, and then when it hits the bottom, about 8 gallons of blood.
So great. All right, Mark.
Yeah.
This is a great one.
Yeah.
You are in the front. I mean, this the reason we took this one again was because last week it got to a runner-up. It was like number 3 on the list.
Yeah, it was almost there.
And you sold it.
I vaguely remember this movie.
Yeah.
There's a scene in the forest where they're chasing after him, and they look over, and there is his ear hanging on a bush.
I hate when that happens.
I hate it.
Thanks. No.
Thanks, Mark.
No.
Walking through the woods, and your ear catches on a bush.
Last week, we were talking about how the movie ends with him just being a puddle of his clothes, and the garbage guy takes him out. It's so anticlimactic.
I know. Right, I like that one's leading. All right, John, what do you got, John? What justify your love for the worst movie of all time?
Yeah, this is a great worst bad movie. This is Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Sure.
1956. And what it is, it's an Americanized remake of the original Japanese from 2 years ago, from 2 years before, 1954, called like Gojira, Japanese directors, and it's got all Japanese actors. So in the U.S., the U.S. Filmmakers, they saw an opportunity here. So they take Raymond Burr. This was the year before.
Oh, goodness.
Bases.
Because Raymond Burr plus Godzilla equals movie magic.
Box office gold.
Bonanza.
So he goes over to Tokyo as a reporter. And Godzilla, by the way, he's a prehistoric beast that's awakened from atomic testing. Right?
Yeah.
So it's a serious horror movie, the Japanese version. So they take the exact same footage, But now all of a sudden, the Japanese actors, now they all speak English, and it's
Oh my gosh.
Having conversations with Raymond Burr. Like rewriting, you know, big parts of the plot. And, you know, naturally, they're never in the same scene.
Yeah, so they would probably do a lot of takeaways, intercutting the footage. Yeah.
Man, John, that's good.
That's really good.
All right, thanks, John.
Yep.
That's a good one.
That's the laziest.
Because I was going to say, where does Godzilla, because I think of movies like Godzilla and even a little bit Puma Man falls in this category as the sort of MST3K. That's going to make it on the screen.
Those Z-grade horror or Z-grade sci-fi movies, you know, they're still great to do. They're really fun. The first movie we ever did that Edward directed was Devil Girl from Mars. Which, super fun. Yeah.
Starring Diana Slickman.
Yep, as the Devil Girl.
And we remounted it when we did like the 10th anniversary.
The 10th anniversary, yeah.
With Dina Connelly. So
but yeah, definitely those are always ripe for.
Right.
Yeah.
312-981-7200, the phone number, some good stuff coming in. I know this one. This one is called 847, says Super Fuzz.
Oh.
A cop gets caught in an atomic blast and gains superpowers. His only weakness is when he sees the color red. He then gets falsely
like
accused and convicted for murder, sentenced to death, and has a montage of his failed executions.
What year is this?
There's more.
73.
They're all in the 70s,
I'm going to say,
right?
This is 1973.
You know why I'm confused is because I'm thinking of Hot Fuzz, which was recent.
Right, right. That's what I thought, too. Yeah. Super Fuzz.
Super Fuzz.
Super Fuzz.
What does the name mean, even?
Like Super Cop, maybe?
Super Cop?
Yeah. Well, Fuzz. Robocop, yeah, Fuzz.
Yeah, the Fuzz.
Do you not remember when policemen...
No, no, I'm just saying I don't understand what the... Is it? Did I miss
was
that
it,
he, no,
was it,
stars a cop?
Yeah, was it a follow-up on Superfly?
Could be.
Superfly then is exposed to radiation, and he turns into Super Fuzz.
All right, here we go. I think we had... I feel like we did this one maybe the first week. 847, The Incredible Two-Headed Transplant.
No.
With Jack Nicholson and Pat Priest. Was so bad but popular, and they made a remake with Rosie Grier. Doctor attaches the head of a sex maniac to a mentally challenged
farmer. Ray Milland. Rosie Grier and Ray Milland, yeah.
We talked about a couple of those, you know, transplant. But not that one. Not that one in particular.
That could be a good one.
That's great. What's it called?
Nicholson and who?
The Incredible Two-Headed Transplant.
Two-headed transplant.
I don't know
Jack
if that's...
Nicholson?
Jack Nicholson and Pat Priest.
Well, Jack Nicholson, remember, was friends with Roger Corman.
Good point, yes.
And he started off his career doing a lot of these chintzy B-movies. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
And he's in a lot of like those Edgar Allan Poe adaptations that Roger Corman did with Vincent Price.
That's right. Okay,
and
yes.
Jack Nicholson was, you know, this young, like strapping young actor, so he would be usually the good guy, the male romantic lead,
except in Little Shop of Horrors where he plays the dentist, right?
Exactly.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly.
All right. So. All right. 312-981-7200.
You're welcome.
That's what you're here for. You're welcome.
This is why I like having Edward
and Thomas
his partner
Herrera,
David on.
Rachel Klaff in studio. We're justifying our love for the best worst movies of all time, and we're at the halfway point. The Incredible Melting Man. Just Mark's explanation of it is so good.
Yeah.
That's a leader right now. But I got some good text of movies that I think you guys are going to like. We'll do that after the news here on 720 WGN. Stay with us.
For you to justify my love.
I remember when that song was sexy.
It's hard to listen to, isn't it?
1988.
It was the late 80s.
Yeah.
That's when she went with a like a theme album.
Yeah, right before the erotica stuff.
It was from Bedtime Stories, I think.
No, before that. Justify My Love was before erotica.
It might have been on Express Yourself, like that record, whatever record that was.
Express Yourself, I think, was on, and here I'm portraying how much I know about Madonna.
Madonna.
No, that was on the, I can't think of
the Madonna record.
I think that was from the Like a Prayer video.
That might have been the same album. Justify Your Love was like the sixth single on that
I
one.
I think it was,
All right, anyway. All right. It's a download here on 720 WGN.
I'm such a terrible gay man. I don't know my Madonna albums.
You know, you generalize, you know yeah. of Madonna, so that's good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She's been in some stinkers. Talk about career pivots.
Oh, we should do like a whole
Body
festival.
Body of Evidence, isn't she in Body of Evidence?
A festival of just Madonna
oh
movies.
Oh my God, they're bad. Shanghai Surprise.
And we get Noelle Krim to play Madonna.
Done. I'm sold.
All done. Rachel Clapp, Edward Thomas Herrera in studio tonight. We're justifying our love for the best worst movies of all time. This idea that we did a series of Thursday nights based on the, it came from the Neo Futurarium series, the great summer series that staged readings of the worst movies of all time. They've yeah. been doing it for years. How many years is that?
This is, well, we took a break, but this is our 12th
year.
Time. Yep.
The first one was in 2002.
2002.
Wow. Yep. And Someone I Touched is the final movie that will be on stage this Saturday. Edward is the director.
Yes.
7:30 at yeah. the Neo Futurarium at Foster and Ashland in Andersonville. All right, we got a lot to get to. Let's get to these guys. Let's go to Mike. Mike, what justify your love for the best worst movie of all time?
All right, this one's called Sonny Boy, as in our child Sonny.
This is a bad one, super bad.
If you ever wanted to see David Carradine in drag, you're in luck.
He plays a transvestite. Correct.
As Pearl, he's the mother of a monstrous family that terrorizes a small desert town.
Yeah.
Okay.
You decide whether this is funny on purpose or bad. Either way, it's pretty bizarre.
Well, I love it. I love your description of it. All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll put that one down. I like that. Thank you, buddy.
It's pretty bizarre. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye. All right, Harold, what do you got for the best worst movie of all time?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Day of the Animals. IMDb gives it the synopsis as a battle for survival as hikers encounter in chemically imbalanced forest. this is the long-awaited first time you see Wesley Nielsen without a shirt.
Yeah.
As he fights a grizzly bear.
He fights a grizzly bear?
He fights a grizzly bear.
Okay.
He takes all right. His shirt off.
Nielsen shows
bear.
Up in a lot of these.
Yeah, yeah.
For 10 minutes, he fights the grizzly bear shirtless.
Sure he does.
Both of them, yes.
I'm putting this down on my must-see list.
The IMDb description is equally bonkers, which says, animals attack a guide, a newswoman and an ad man, and other hikers because of aerosols in the ozone layer.
We used to be, I'm going to guess the year of this movie,
yeah.
73.
77.
77. But we were really worried about aerosols back in the 70s.
Apparently, they make animals go bonkers.
Yeah.
Well, glad we got rid of those aerosols.
And they give, you know, penguins skin cancer.
The poster features a very angry, I think it's a, what is that?
That looks like a mountain lion.
A mountain lion.
Yeah, yeah.
This looks great.
It looks like it's crazed yep. by aerosol.
I would like to try this as a stage reading just to figure out how to do all the animal effects.
I love it. Thanks, Harold.
Puppets.
Puppets.
Take care, guys.
Puppets.
All right.
Or children. Children.
Children.
In animal
Speaking
costumes.
Speaking of children, we got to get back. We didn't get a yeah. chance to – I forgot the gentleman's name right at the top. He was talking about the movie – I forgot the Cheech and Chong movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said, it was with that child molester.
Oh, God.
And it turns out it was Paul Reubens.
Yeah, who is not a
child molester.
No.
And a bunch of people wrote in to say, no, it's Pee Wee Herman, it's Paul Reubens.
Yeah.
But the idea, like...
We need to clear his name.
Yeah, we need to clear the name.
Yeah.
Like, that's,
he was arrested for indecent exposure, but
That's not really clearing his name, but okay.
Well, it cleared.
It's way less of a problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you know.
Right. So come on. What did you say? All right. 312-981-7200. I think Paul would be happy with us tonight. We cleared his name.
At least we straightened
out
the
facts. We love you, Pee-wee.
All right. 630 says the movie Squirm. S-Q-U-I-R-M. Squirm. It's about killer worms.
Killer worms.
Yeah.
This sounds like a, you know, one of those, we talked about this, where they run out of ideas and it's like, I don't know, killer what now? You know,
yeah,
we've done
yeah.
all the different killer things.
And I think Squirm sounds like it's a takeoff on Right. Which was all about the snakes, remember?
It was literally
and
called.
And Night of the Lepus, which, you
which
know.
We've talked about. That, and done. Yep.
Like,
killer
when
bunnies.
You, any yeah. animal that is, you
I gotta
know,
say, of all the killer things, worms, really, that's a stretch. Because unless you're throwing them at someone, you know.
Or maybe they're big.
If they're,
maybe they
if
big,
they're
yeah.
10 feet long.
Well, then you get tremors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah. But see, tremors, maybe tremors has advanced the story, where tremors was about... Right. Like, they were like, they had teeth and stuff like
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that was intentionally silly, that yeah. movie. Yeah. Although we did end up doing it, because we had a twist on it, we did Tremors edited for television, where the narrators stood and substituted words for all the curse words, and they were terrific. They were great.
All right, good.
That was the house theater. They were wonderful.
Oh, well, I love those guys.
Yeah.
All right, so, okay, so right now... I'm looking at, you got Incredible Melting Man.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got Godzilla, that, King of the Monsters.
I'm still thinking about that ear on the bush.
right? You got Mike just gave us Sunny Boy.
Sunny Boy, yep.
And then Harold gave us Day of the Animals.
I love that. It's the, for Melting Man and Day of the Animals for me.
I'm still stuck on that ear. So
he painted a very vivid picture.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say, just for his synopses skills alone, I think that gets my vote.
All right. So Amy Guth, who's coming up here at 11 o'clock, she just wrote in. She gave us two choices.
Okay.
She said the movie Hamburger.
Yes.
Which is a camp like movie. Yeah, right? It's like a Meatballs ripoff.
Sort of teen subpar teen sex romp. Maybe not
Wait,
so much
meatballs
on the sex.
Meatballs and then hamburger.
Yeah,
and
I think that's
next
the idea.
One
yeah.
is what?
Porky's.
Lasagna.
Yeah.
Porky's. Yeah. A lot of meat okay. theme.
A lot of it's a meat.
Yeah,
meat
it's a kid who like needs to
camp.
Get his diploma and he ends up at a hamburger uniform. I don't know. It's so silly. Silly.
Does it star C. Thomas Howell?
It does not, strangely enough.
But don't you think it should?
It should. It should. It should. Yeah.
Usually,
this is, you know, this is the most fun part is like just hearing these titles and then just immediately see Thomas Howell is yeah. in that.
Pretty sure.
Leslie Nielsen shows up in a lot because Leslie Nielsen was in Viva Knievel, as Pete
yes,
just mentioned. He
yes.
was, had some role in
and
it.
And don't forget, Leslie Nielsen was in that movie about the grasshoppers attacking Chicago.
The Beginning of the End? Is that,
I think
that
that's
called?
What it's called.
Which
yeah.
somebody nominated.
That's right. That's a brilliant film.
It's so good.
Especially when you look at that beautiful scene where they're crawling the up the Wrigley Building.
Crawling up the Wrigley Building.
And then they start to crawl. And as they continue to crawl, they start to like veer
crawl
off
into the sky
into
because
the
they're
sky
on acetate. Yeah.
Because they're just sitting on a. They're really crawling
it's
across
so
a
great.
Photograph of the Wrigley Building.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Amy said the second choice would be Midnight Madness.
I don't know that
I don't
that
know
one.
What Midnight Madness is.
Okay, but let me guess who's in it. I'm thinking 1973.
Midnight Madness.
Karen right. Valentine.
You're good. This is good. Let's see. Midnight Madness, what did you say?
73.
You're always saying 73. This is 1980.
Okay, close enough.
It's
close
a comedy.
Enough.
It all those years roll together.
Midnight Madness is Karen Valentine
who's
in it?
No. David, I can't. I can't see the cast. Well, Michael J. Fox.
Oh, he showed up in last week.
He
was
did
a,
with
yeah,
the Joan Jett movie.
The Joan Jett brother sister rock and roll music.
Yep.
Oh my God. Yeah.
David
Naughton.
Forgot
about that
can't
movie.
Read that. Yeah. Yeah. This is a silly comedy.
So Amy
Midnight
likes
Madness.
She likes the silly comedies.
Okay.
Sure. All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
All right. Let's keep going here. All right. 312-981-7200. Fallen Angel.
We
1981.
Okay.
So disturbing, it still makes my skin crawl. I'm partial to the music video of Fallen Angel by the band Poison.
Who wouldn't be?
Which is literally, they do the song where a woman gets off the bus mm-hmm. to go to Hollywood. And it's a cautionary tale song slash video for yep. the band Poison about,
and
you
because
know,
when Poison knows a thing or two about young women in Hollywood.
Oh gosh! Sure. Oh, this looks awful. It's a made-for-TV movie, and just the description alone makes you squirm. A girl and others her age are lured by their softball coach, an insidious child pornographer.
Oh no!
No, terrible. That's this like... is another drama movie
wait,
of the week.
Wait, Linda Blair.
Nope, Melinda Dillon.
Oh my! Oh,
one of the best names in Hollywood.
Yeah,
Melinda Dillon.
That rolls right
Shame
off the tongue.
On her.
I know, but I love
Melinda
Dillon.
Ronnie Cox.
Oh yeah, there you go. Ronnie
the
Cox.
Christmas Story. I will always remember yeah. Melinda Dillon.
Dana Hill.
Isn't she in that?
and Richard Mazur.
I think so. Richard Mazur, okay.
Shame on all of them. That sounds awful.
It's like the Gacy made for TV that Brian Dennehy played.
Yes.
Got that one scene where he's dressed as a clown pumping gas.
Oh, no, it's terrible.
He's talking to the kid and he like has the face contorts and you're just like, that is the worst, evilest scene of all time.
Yeah, that would. This movie would
pumping,
make me squirm,
he's
too.
At the gas station.
Okay.
And he's like, well, the boy who's like, you know, full service on the gas station, he's got his attention because, you know, Gacy's.
It's Gacy and Boyce. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And he's dressed in full clown. He's like, what's your name? And he's just got this look, and you're like, that is the worst. Like, I mean, it's creepy beyond creepy, but you're like, what a. Like, Dennehy, like, just method acting,
but
getting
that,
into
but
it.
Does that count as bad?
It's
just
bad. Well,
it's creepy.
I don't know if that falls into the category bad, although I'm sure many would say it did.
I mean, it depends. All of those sort of exploitation films, made-for-TV exploitation films of horrible, horrible crimes or, you know, serial killers, I always just find, like, I don't know about this. Like, although, it makes me uncomfortable.
Although I have to say, Hey, I'm Alive with Ed Asner and Sally Struthers as the two people who are, like, crashed. Their plane crashes in the wilderness of Alaska, and they're trying to get rescued.
Hey, I'm Alive.
I've always wanted to do
that.
Yeah,
that's
that
wonderful.
Movie.
How did we not? It just occurred to me because I started thinking about 847 says Melinda Dillon was in Slapshot.
She was. Know?
And 773 gives us Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Again.
And boy, I was thinking, I don't know how this one, and I want to bring it back just because I feel like. It didn't make it. For some reason, we gave it an asterisk. It didn't win.
Yep.
But Boy in the Bubble.
Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
Oh,
with John Travolta.
John Travolta.
Did that not make our list?
We
that
were close.
It was close, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong
it's
with that
sublime.
Bad movie. I mean, that's such a bad movie.
Yep. That's a really good one. I don't know that we...
Gina,
I don't know that anybody...
Cool. Come back and talk to me. They're on the beach. They brought the bubble down to the beach, and he's, like, playing and having fun.
Well, if we do do and, it, and now it, we know who we're going to hit up to play the lead. Gina. Justin
the
Kaufman.
The outfit for the boy in the bubble, like, when he's on the beach.
Yeah.
I think it's basically just something that they got out of, you know, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah.
And they just basically
repurposed
said, like,
it.
Hey, you know what? I've got this great outfit. It looks like a scuba diving outfit. I think it will work
It'll
for
work.
The boy.
Just repurpose
you know, like
it.
When he's so running along the beach.
Yeah.
He's having fun with Gina.
Yeah.
And Gina starts to run away to her other friends.
Hey, yeah. Gina.
And it's Gina. Where are you going? Come back and talk to me. And then she's like, Danny, it's Greece. And I'm like,
I love that
John, you're in a bubble. No. And he has that moment of recognition that he's in a bubble and he tries to break out of the bubble. And Bob's like, oh, what are you doing? Don't you break out of that bubble. You're going to die. It's such a good
I really
film.
Love I that
Justin
this is your takeaway from this film.
Oh, I think he's auditioning.
Serious testosterone right there. Like, I just, I want to be Travolta.
The casting couch is here.
All right,
whoa. Okay. We got all these windows out into Michigan Avenue. I don't know.
Speaking of reconsideration, Peter wants us to reconsider a movie. Peter, what's the movie?
The movie is one of the most atrocious things I've ever seen, and it was done entirely as an on-purpose good movie. They weren't. I really don't think they were trying to be bad. And that's The Warrior and The Sorceress.
And The Sorceress, yes. Mm-hmm. Also David Carradine, right?
And it also made it to like the second. We almost picked it, but I think Rabbit Test or one of the ones got in right before it.
Yep.
Maria Sokas made, I think, her North American movie premiere as an actress.
Wasn't this the one shot in South America?
Well, in Mexico.
Oh, in Mexico, okay.
And basically, Carradine plays a warrior who does essentially for a few dollars more plot line. There's two warring parties in a village fighting over the one well, and he decides to play them against each other for money.
Oh, I think that's a Kurosawa. I think that's Sanjuro. That's a Kurosawa.
Well, you're going back farther than I am.
I'm going back to the original.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I didn't know the name. I didn't know the name.
This
so
is
thank
the,
you.
You're
cheap, welcome.
The cheap ripoff.
All right, Peter, that's a good one. I like it.
That's a good
thank
one.
You
thank
so
you
much for bringing
so
that
much.
One back.
I think you made a great point, though. It's like the great things that makes a movie so bad is when the intention behind it
is
absolutely
dead. And if I remember, Carradine's at the top. We did this. It was
we talked
the
about the
poster,
which is, as I think Peter described really vividly, is Arnold Schwarzenegger's body with Carradine's head. And it really is. It's,
so good.
You know, as this muscle
312
man.
Says, actually, the beginning of the end.
Right.
Has
yes.
Peter Graves, not Leslie Nielsen.
Oh.
But I can see the similarity. Both had gray hair in black and white movies. That's what Harold says. Harold's
yeah, right. Well, yeah.
can't,
okay.
Can't
hey,
win them all.
I get them confused. I still get Lohengrin and Tannhäuser mixed up all the time. One has like a swan at the end.
All right, 612 says, Can't Stop the Music. The collaboration from Steve Guttenberg, The Village People, and Bruce Jenner in Hot Pants.
This is on my list. We did The Apple. Twice we remounted it, and Barrel of Monkeys did an amazing version of it, and
hey,
I've always
hey,
wanted
hey.
To Bim's on the
Bim's
way.
On the way.
I've hey, always wanted hey, to have hey. Them come back and do Bim's Can't Stop the Music because that movie
is
what
just
is
like
this?
So
it's the Village People.
It's a Village People. It's a vehicle for the Village People who don't act.
No, they do not.
And it stars Bruce Jenner who does not act.
No,
but I have to say. Looks good in a pair of hot
he
pants.
He sure does. He looks good
is
in
this.
Yeah.
Is this right around like Olympics time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
1984, something like that.
Yeah. It's 1980. It might be earlier
yeah,
than
that.
Than
but
the
but
Apple.
What it is like they've decided they're discovering this great new band and it's called the Village People.
Yeah.
And oh, here's a construction worker and here's a guy dressed like a Native American.
Yeah. Oh, so it's actually
and
about
it's like,
the Village
yeah,
People.
Yeah, it's kind of like an
origin
story.
I thought they were
you know?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Like the X Men, only they sing and they're all dressed like gay stereotypes.
Yep.
So
terrifically bad.
But it's hilarious. And Valerie Perrine is in it, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who's like going, these guys, you got to hear them. They're great.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. 630 says, how about Motel Hell? Chainsaw fight while wearing a severed pig head?
Oh, God. Okay, yikes. That's pretty what, that's
what's
recent,
not
right?
to love?
Oh, wait, no, it's not. It's we were talking about doing this. Yeah, it's the guy who runs a motel where they kill and they plant the bodies in a in the garden out back or
oh,
some
man.
Crazy thing. Yeah, it's really insane.
Wow. Okay. All right. I know I've got some more here. I just got to get down to them. Condor Man.
We were just saying, does it really, does he battle Puma Man?
Yeah, right.
Because I would watch
oh,
that.
Oh, and then we could do Puma Man versus Condor
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. Puma Man.
224 says, The Pirate Movie starring Christy McNichol and Christopher Adkins.
Yep.
And
awful.
Anything with Christy McNichol, just that.
Plus, it's called The Pirate Movie. How lazy do you have to be?
Yeah.
224 says it's the only movie they ever walked out on.
Yeah, it's not good. It is not good.
Hmm. It's just not good.
I walked out of Jesus Christ Superstar.
It's trying to be a funny
but that's because my mother thought
comedy.
We were going to see King of Kings, and she was really disappointed.
It's a really it's sort of a fantasy comedy trying to be lighthearted musical romp, and it ends up being none of those things.
All right, here's the 773 has the 1965 film Die, Die, My Darling.
Yes.
A young girl is kept prisoner in an attic and is terrorized by her dead fiancé's crazy whack job mother. It stars Stephanie Powers, Tallulah Bankhead, and Donald Sutherland as a weirdo gardener. This movie's so bad it's good. I think it may have gotten a Rotten Tomato Award.
Yeah, I think this was part of that whole series in the late 60s, 70s when they would get these really famous faded movie stars like Betty Davis or Joan Crawford or Tallulah Bankhead.
Right.
And they would say, I think they called it hagsploitation.
Oh.
And I'm not, not something I made up.
That's incredibly.
They would call it hagsploitation, where they would take older female actresses, big names, and then make them monsters into these
sort things. Of like Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Yeah.
Oh God, now they're The Nanny with Betty Davis, where she plays the psycho nanny.
Yep.
Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte, you know.
Sure.
There's tons of them.
But this was
I think most of them starred Joan Crawford because that woman, she'll work.
She would work
for anything.
She's a worker.
She would work. Straight Jacket. That's what I'm thinking.
Straight Jacket.
Of. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. This is a little early. That's a little precursor.
It's certainly a great title.
All right.
Die,
so
Die, My Darling.
Here, I got three more and then we'll stop and we'll semi these and get them to Pete and see what he thinks. All right.
Okay.
224 says Basket Case.
Oh, Basket Case. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's about the young man who has his conjoined twin in a basket.
Yep.
Except the basket contains only his head and like hands. And of course, the basket twin is a killer.
Yeah.
And like the one guy, he's like this really nice looking guy. I know this movie.
Yep. Yep. You do.
And he's like this. He's like this normal little quiet guy, but he's got this secret basket. What's in the basket? Oh, it's my twin brother.
Not only my Siamese twin, my telepathic Siamese twin.
Oh, that's
brother.
Right. But he's also violent and homicidal. And people, like, you know, eventually he that's finds, so like, someone who wants to look in the basket, and that's the last thing they
that
see.
Would be a fun one to do with, as a puppet show.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I've got 708 says Hots, H-O-T-S, starring Danny Bonaducci and a seal.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it already.
That's an acronym.
H-O-T-S,
right?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Hots. I don't know. I don't
S
know anything about
for
it.
Seal.
1979.
I was gonna say 73.
Right. Oh, it's like a sorority sister. Sorority sisters of Old Pie rival those of Hots, H-O-T-S, for dibs on campus hunks.
Played by Danny Bonaducci.
That's right. Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, man.
2009 movie Dogtooth.
Oh.
Wait. That's a Greek film?
I don't know. Dogtooth.
There's a Greek film called Dogtooth.
2009.
About, yeah. Well, it
was. Is Dogtooth the what's his name? Nope. You're right. It's Greek.
It's a Greek film. And it's about a man who raises his children in total seclusion.
Yes.
But that's not a bad film. That's
no,
a good one.
It's a good
that's
film.
A really good
it's,
film. It's hilariously funny, too.
It's an art
too.
Film.
It's unless it's a different dog tooth that we're talking about.
I'm. What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Lars von Trier, Dogville?
Dogville.
Is it Dogville? Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's movies.
And the last one, 773, gives us Billy Jack.
We did Billy Jack, and it is dreadful. Yeah. And there's a bunch of Billy Jack films, I think. This, yeah, the it's really terrible.
I wasn't
terrible.
In it. I wanted to play the Buffy St. Marie role.
Yeah,
but my audition, I didn't
dreadful.
Do well at my audition.
It's really entertaining.
I can do the voice. I can do the Buffy St. Marie voice.
Billy Jack is a really good example of one that was being real serious about Native American rights and ends up being... Yeah. Just awful.
All right. Well, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks convention at the Hilton Chicago Hotel on July 21st through the 23rd. Stop by and join our live broadcast on the 21st with Rokan, 22nd with The Beat, all brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. All right. So here's the semifinalists, and we'll get through these and we'll wrap them up. We've got The Incredible Melting Man.
Yep.
We've got the movie Sunny Boy.
Mm-hmm.
We've got The Warrior and the Sorceress. We've got Can't Stop the Music. Die, Die, My Darling. And the movie Basket Case.
Did we forgot Day of the Animals, didn't we?
I did.
By the way, my man spouse says that Basket Case is a satire.
All right.
Oh, okay. Which, so it's out. Know, all right. So we can't. Like, okay. Yeah, so, Pete, let's jump in. We're taking Basket Case out.
Sorry.
No,
man, spouse. You know,
Incredible Melting Man.
Yep.
I'm
Sunny
Replace
Boy.
It with Day of the
what do you guys like? What do you like? Incredible Melting Man, no. Sunny Boy, Day of the Animals.
There's the ear on the bush.
Incredible Melting Man is great. I want to give a nod to Warrior and the Sorceress just because it was so doggedly pitched to us.
I know.
All right, Pete, what do you think?
I agree with those two. Is which one has space?
Incredible Melting Man.
Let's go
space.
The one with space.
There you go.
Space always wins.
Here's what we'll do, just to make it an 8 movies, right? Mm-hmm. 8 movies for our final, whatever we do with these 8.
Right.
We're going to also enter in The Warrior and the Sorceress.
Right.
And I'll give him a pizza for that. And then just for my own, because I think it's the best movie of all time, Boy in a Plastic Bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get the chef's choice on that one. Rachel Claff, Edward Thomas Herrera. You guys, it was so fun. This was great.
Thank
you so
much. We need to do this forever.
Yeah, you can just kind of do it in perpetuity.
We have 8 great movies that came out of this series.
I'll be back next week.
There you go. Go see It Came from the Neo Futurarium. Someone I touched. Saturday night, 7:30 at Foster and Ashland at the Neo
Futurarium. There's a singing bacterium in it.